today on Real Radio.
You might say, oh, I'm an atheist and I made all my money by myself. No, you didn't. Your little heart and your little atheist mind thinking, trying to think. God gave you the ability. I'm just really good with numbers and I know how to make money. God gave you that ability. I don't believe in him. Doesn't change the fact God gave it to you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 1, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In Isaiah chapter 4, we find Judah in captivity, but God's covenant with his people is everlasting. So, Isaiah predicts God's coming restoration of the nation of Israel, and Jesus, who Isaiah foretold as the branch of God, was like a tree cut down, but regrew and produced many trees. Likewise, Israel will once again increase into a great nation. We also learned that we were given the ministry of reconciliation, and through God's love we can restore others, knowing that we too can fall away. Now in chapter 5, Isaiah will deliver his message to Israel in a poem that's in the form of a parable. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God has expectations of a good harvest, and Jesus told us throughout his ministry that there will come a day when we will stand alone before God and give an account of what we've done with what God has given us. And Isaiah, in his poem, points out 6 sins, or woes, and each of their judgments. And now continuing his lesson called Being Right with God, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 3, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem," this is the Lord speaking, "and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste." Notice who's doing the cleansing. It's God himself. "It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns." So Israel at some point in time is going to be left desolate from the time of Isaiah's prophecy. "I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it." Verse 7, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of" who? Israel, "and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help." That's his indictment. That's his word to them. And what does history tell us about this? About God's goodness? Notice this. God is saying, "I have this land designated." You need to, everybody listen carefully to this. I'm going to help you solve much of the world's problems in 5 minutes. I mean it. Watch this. Are you ready? God says in the Bible, in fact, let me be very dramatic about this, 743 years before Jesus was born. So in my hand, 2,000, let's just round up, 2,800 years ago, it's written in this book that God says, "I have a nation called Israel. I know exactly where it is," he says. "I even inscribe my name upon the land of it," God says. He's embossed his name on it, says God. Listen, 2,800 years predates the borders of the 1967 boundaries that President Obama wanted Netanyahu to shrink Israel back to. Go back to your previous borders, And when I heard that on the news, I shouted at my TV. And I said, no, no, not 1967. Go further back to, go way back to the promised borders. Don't go back to the 1967 borders. Go back to the promised borders of millennia ago. When God says the kingdom of Israel is gonna stretch this way and that way, all the way to the Euphrates River, all the way down through Jordan, all the way down through Iraq, all the way through Persia, all the way down to Saudi Arabia and over to the land of Egypt. That's gonna be, listen, when Jesus returns, that's the border. Imagine, he's gonna return and he's gonna take out a Sharpie and he's gonna go, and he's going to mark out the promised territory that was given to Abraham. That's the promised land. Now, here's the thing that we'll solve in 5 minutes. Isn't Israel the occupier? Yes, if you don't believe in the Bible. Period. Israel is the occupier if you don't believe in God, the God of the Bible. Did you know that? Well, I heard at school Israel's the occupier. Godless school. Godless person telling you that. United Nations, godless. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. God made the earth. He said, this area is my promised land, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring in a bunch of pagan people and let them occupy the land that I've promised to a people that will come. The flesh will be there first because the flesh comes first. I'll plant the flesh in the land. But through my promises to my promised people, they will come in and they'll have to circumcise the land of the pagan flesh. That's the pattern I've established. So here's the deal. Were there people existing in the land of Israel before it was Israel's? Yes, but God promised it to Israel from time and eternity. So listen, it's Israel's right to the land based upon the promises of God. When you talk to your friend and they say, well, Israel's the occupier, they're actually admitting that they do not believe in the Bible nor the God of the Bible. Because if they did, they would believe in the promises of the God of the Bible that he made to Israel. Does this make sense to you? Yes. You know more now, I'm serious, than United Nations knows. Well, we need to divide the land. We need to divide in Israel. You know, I don't know. I would love to be able to stand there one day and just say, hey, God promised the land to Israel. Deal with it and walk off. I mean, that's the answer. Man, that sounds radical. It is radical, but not to God. He made the earth. What are you going to do about that? And God is good, by the way. He says to Israel, I promised it to you. And I prepared it for you. I set you on a very choice piece of land. It's sweet, beautiful, well-watered, all set up. You can throw seed on the ground and it grows. What a funny place that is. You can grow apples there and you can grow bananas there. How do you do that? I mean, whatever it is, it grows there. God blesses it. Absolutely remarkable. God says, I've done everything. I've hedged it. I even put a watchtower in the middle of it to keep it safe. I did everything I could. And I brought you into the land and I gave it to you. God has been good. God is good. Everything that is good in your life, you say, I'm not a believer. I don't care. Whatever's good in your life, it's from God. You might say, oh, I'm an atheist and I made all my money by myself. No, you didn't. Your little heart and your little atheist mind thinking, trying to think. God gave you the ability. I'm just really good with numbers and I know how to make money. God gave you that ability. I don't believe in him. Doesn't change the fact God gave it to you. God is good. What's wrong with this world is what man does. I get tired of God getting the bad rap by everybody. It's man doing this to man. God must look down from, I'm joking because it breaks his heart, but God must look down from heaven and just say, what are they doing down there? I gave them everything they needed and they don't even read my book. I have the answers to their life right there. He's been good. God has done, he's saying to them, I've done my part. Isn't that true? Israel, I've done my part. Judah, I've done my part. Now you do your part. You know, our part, Jesus said it. Jesus said it perfectly. Jesus summed up the requirement of God when Jesus said to Matthew, come and follow me. What does God require of me? Follow him. God, what's your will for my life? He knocks on her head, follow me. He's done his part. When he says here, look at this carefully, my well-beloved has a vineyard. First thing, my well-beloved has a vineyard on a fruitful hill. God did that. Secondly, he dug it up and cleared out its stones. God did that. Thirdly, he says that he planted a choice vine in it. Vine referring, by the way, it's a symbol of the nation Israel. Fourthly, he says that he built a tower in its midst. Fifth, he also made a wine press in it. Look what it says. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. God expected it. Listen, I want to be a little bit sarcastic with you to drive the point home. God says, I expected a return on this effort of mine. Church, is that uncalled for by God? Is God being unreasonable? Think about it. How many of you are alive right now? Raise your hand. The goodness of God is on your life. And he would be completely justified tonight in saying, I gave you the power to live today, to be mobile, to even be here tonight. And this is what I expect of you. I expect this out of you. Is he being unreasonable? Absolutely not. Do we not owe him? Absolutely. And you think how this is normal for us, right? The other day we had something go wrong at our house, and a guy put it in and it didn't work right. And then the guy had to come back. And I'm thinking, here's what's been in my mind for like 3 days. They're gonna try to charge me for this guy's visit. They charge $100 an hour to come out to fix. And he installed a bad thing. I'm not gonna pay it. There's no way. I'm gonna stand there. In fact, I'm just gonna do it. When he turns around that clipboard, he's gonna need to sign here. I'm not gonna sign it. I'm gonna say, give me the phone number. I'm gonna call your boss. Because I'm not going to pay, because you installed a faulty piece of stuff, and I'm not going to pay for that. And I'm ready, man. I mean, I'm like this. Why? Because we have expectations. People should stand behind their product, or you should keep your word, or we shook on it, right? That kind of stuff, right? We expect things. I did not deflate the ball. You don't. Why is there a ruckus about that or anything else? Because you have expectations. So listen, if that's a big deal to us, you breached the contract and so we don't have to pay or whatever it is. Expectation. God says to us, I have expectations. Can you imagine if he rolled back this building tonight and just looked over and said, listen, I have expectations. And here's the deal. He could, you know, ladies and gentlemen. And he says, I expected good grapes. And I thought about how normal this is for us when we deal with one another. And so I thought, I want and I expect our government to be held accountable, don't you? Well, that was convincing. That's good. We want and expect our leaders to be held accountable, don't we?
Yes.
We want and expect our authorities to be held accountable.
Yes.
Well, how about this one? I'm sure this will be an over-the-top screamer. We certainly want and expect our pastors and our churches to be held accountable, right?
Yes.
Of course you do. And so you should. Are you with me? For some reason, we vote for people and send them to Sacramento or Washington, and we never think about them again. And somehow they know that we're not thinking about them anymore. And They do whatever they want to do. But we have expectations. It's normal. And God has them. And Jesus made it very clear in the day of his ministry that there would come a day that he would call on that expectation. When Isaiah said to the nation, God is speaking and he expects certain things. It reminded me of the day that when you and I will stand before God. Let me change that. I didn't say that correctly. I just said when you and I stand before God on that day. It will not be you and I standing before God that day. It will be you. I'm not done, you feisty crowd. It will be you and him alone. And when he's done with you, then it will be me and him alone. Do you understand that? You say, that's going to take a long time. Not an eternity where there is no time. Everyone, the Bible says, must appear before the Lord. And we'll be held, as believers, we'll be held accountable for the things that we've said and done in our lives. It has nothing to do with our salvation. It has to do with us being sweet grapes or rotten grapes. And you say, well, that's a little serious, isn't it? Exactly the point. You bet it is. Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the grave. That's serious. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and possessed his church to send her to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's pretty serious. There are people today dying for the name of Jesus. That's serious. And you and I right now are called to live for Jesus. That's serious. And so, in this chapter, this fifth chapter, which we won't even get to tonight, it appears, really, Isaiah names six sins specifically that are responsible for, listen everybody, six sins he will point out that are responsible for the destroying or the destruction of the nation, or of its culture, of the family unit, and of an individual person. And his answer to these sins are woes. Look with me in verses 8 through 10. Woe number one. Being right with God requires you and I to be vigilant against, number one, the woe of covetousness. Will you write that down? Verse 8, woe to those who join house to house. They add field to field till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones, without inhabitants. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, or measurements vary somewhere, no less than 6 gallons, no more than 9 gallons. And a homer of seed, about 60 pounds worth of seed, shall yield one ephah, or 6 pounds. First of all, let's get the math out of the way. He's saying, because, listen, woe number one, woe to those who join house to house. And he goes down this list. What is it? He's talking about covetousness. I'll explain this more in a moment. Woe to them. Mark down the word woe. The word woe is a powerful, scary statement. It means damnation to you, devastation to you, wrath is coming upon you, great judgment. God is saying great judgment is coming upon you. Why? You would naturally say why? And he says because of this. You've joined house to house. You've done all these things. There's no place for the open land to exist. You've not let any area be that has not been consumed by someone's ownership. And because of that, watch this, it's brilliant. Because of that, the crops begin to fail. Now, listen, are you listening? There's a spiritual truth to what God is saying, and there's a natural truth to what God is saying. And so the land's going to fail. He tells Isaiah, tell the people, the land's going to soon fail. You're going to spend all of this money to buy seed, and you're going to throw out 60 pounds worth of seed. And all of that seed is only going to produce for you about 6 pounds of fruit. Well, what does that mean? If any of you are farmers, you know what that means? Starvation. You're going to go broke and starve. So God announces, woe, woe to you, Israel, because you have been covetous. You say, how do you get covetous out of that? When the word here says woe to those who join house to house, they add field to field. That is an amazing statement. They add field to field till there is no place where there may dwell alone in the midst of the land. It doesn't mean that they build necessarily a city, although I would love to talk to you some night about cities. It's a bizarre, amazing thing, but that's not what we're going to go to tonight. God says, woe to you, rich people, he says, who've done this. It's not a sin to be rich, but this is what you've done. You have joined house to house. The word means you have built mansions for yourself. Listen, watch this. God is not, he's not putting them down because they've been blessed. He's putting them down because they mismanaged the blessings. You've got something, and I blessed you. I caused your vineyards to flourish. I gave you water. I gave you rain. I gave you the soil, and it exploded in abundance. And what did you do with it? You took your wealth, and instead of helping others and expanding the influence of goodness, like I've been to you, he would say, you took a measuring tape and you marked off 20,000 acres and put a fence around it, and you made no more room for others to live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being Right with God, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And there is satisfaction in being satisfied with what God has already provided. Being Right with God, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Have you had a chance to check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and there are literally hundreds of videos to choose from, along with a variety of topics that are available. But what I'd like to draw your attention to at this moment is a specific series called Engage the Culture. Each episode starts with a sort of what does the Bible say about, and then a specific topic will be explored, such as what does the Bible say about marijuana and drug use, or what does the Bible say about socialism? Other cultural topics include feminism, transgenderism, racism, as well as what does the Bible say about gun control, border control, and abortion. Again, a lot of topics to choose from, lots of questions will be answered, and a whole lot of information on how to share salvation through Jesus Christ in a world that has a lot of very different cultural and spiritual views on life. And don't forget to hit that notification tab for all the latest videos that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. And if you've got any questions for us, or maybe you'd like to know more about what Pastor Jack has to offer, you can also head over to our website that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.